Not everyone in the building, Gerard. Not everyone.
Nope.
Some people not aware that he was even on the team. It's Christian Arcana, Tandy Hearts, WEEI Afternoons here.
Google Marcus.
Siri, who's Marcus Jones?
I mean, that whole exchange is based off of comments made by Van Pelt yesterday, which I'm still shocked he even said all that. Like, why say that? Why share that with people?
Because he's a nice, honest man.
No,
he is. Like, I mean, I think that's the simple answer.
You can be nice and you can be honest and you can also protect yourself against looking like a total jackass.
But I think there's some naivete there with him that he's just a nice guy and he's just going to be honest and that's what we do. And what's the big deal if I didn't know he played offense?
What's the big deal?
No, I think that was kind of...
Okay, but I mean...
He clearly didn't think it was a big deal.
The fact that he doesn't see that makes everybody look horrible, that he didn't know that. And that saying that, like, you know, even if you're a nice, honest guy, right? And I agree with you. I think he is a nice, honest guy. But even if you are, isn't there just a little voice in the back of your head saying, you know...
Don't say it.
Don't tell all these people that you didn't know the guy was on the team and that you didn't know he ever played offense and that, you know, you only thought of him as a defensive back and you had to Google who he was and like all that other stuff. Like,
this happens to all of us. Aren't there times in life where you are in a situation and you're like, you clearly realize you don't know something that everybody around you knows and you're at that like make or break point. Do I admit it or do I just like, play along and
fake it till you make it?
Yeah. Like, for example, for me, it took me forever to know that Flo Rida was Florida. I never saw it. I was like...
That was what the name was. Florida is the word Florida.
It's just the word Florida split up.
Oh, okay. I thought you were thinking that he went by Florida.
No. And I was like...
You guys heard this new song by Florida?
No. Awesome. I'm much hipper than that. I'm hipper than Alex Van Pelt, too.
I'm hip.
I'm much hipper than Alex Van Pelt. I think you can agree. I bet you Alex Van Pelt doesn't know who SZA is.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He didn't know who Marcus
Jones who Marcus
was.
Jones is either. Marcus Jones, by the way, is a musician. Did you know that? He has like an R&B song.
Yeah. Did not know that.
It's not very good, but
I bet you Alex Van Pelt does, because when he Googled it probably came up.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, Marcus Jones, the musician. Yes, my favorite.
FYI, there's also a guy who was running for Congress in Arkansas. That's Marcus Jones.
Okay.
I wasn't familiar with him. Army vet.
Good for him.
Colonel retired Marcus Jones.
He's running for Congress?
I don't know. It says Marcus Jones for Congress.
Election's over, so did he win or
no? I'm on his website.
Okay.
I'm going to meet Marcus. I don't know. It doesn't really say here whether he won or lost.
No.
There's no update news. I don't know.
Well, I would guess that if he won, they would update the website, so he probably lost, right? Wouldn't you think? Like, if
hasn't
he won,
been
they'd
updated
be like,
since October 23rd.
Interesting.
I don't think he won.
Yeah, he probably didn't win.
Wow, you really just scrap it.
fought the good fights. They fired his web guy, and that was it. Yeah.
So
it's just going to be out there.
I think this is terrible, and obviously, Gerard Mayo, you should know these questions are coming. These questions were coming to everybody. If you listen to any of the Tyler Hughes, Scott, like everybody, there was sort of these discussions. Okay, so let's get past that. It's idiotic that he didn't know. The other part of it, like, how many gadget plays are we going to run? I mean, I don't know. First of all, you have a bunch. You've run a bunch of gadget plays.
You've run a few, so yeah.
Second of all, I don't really consider him necessarily a gadget guy. Run like a bubble screen to him.
Yeah.
I don't need like a crazy play.
He scored a touchdown off a regular old bubble screen behind the line of scrimmage. That's it. It wasn't a gadget play.
If you want to go pistol and run a toss sweep with him carrying the ball, I don't care. That's what he does on punt
returns.
Doesn't
have to be like a flea flicker or something. You just give him the ball
and
let him go.
Ball, block a few people and see if you can get him in space.
Right.
Okay. There's another layer. Then the next thing I want to disagree with. He's most valuable on defense. I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know about that either.
I think he's best as a punt returner, and what he's second best at is still up for debate, whether it's the ball in his hands on offense or on defense. Now, you could argue just depth-wise, you need him. You're stuck with him because they don't have a lot of cornerback depth behind him. And those three guys, Jones, and Gonzalez, have been their primary corners all year.
All year long they have been. And their backups are like Alex Austin,
yeah.
Isaiah Bolden, you know, guys who aren't getting a ton of starts and a lot
correct.
Of big assignments. So, yeah.
So I think there's still a question where he could be most impactful and effective. And then the next extension is the cheap shot I took at the receivers. Like, how bad are you that they're at the bottom of the barrel where he didn't even really know this guy played offense? Mm. So if you didn't know he played offense, you didn't know he scored a touchdown on a big play 2 years ago, right? Like that was never in the framework. And you were just willing because he asked. All he did was ask.
Yeah.
You gave him plays. That tells you how little they think of the wide receivers, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because they have wide receivers that can't get snaps.
Right.
Right? Javon Baker can't find his way onto the field. Tyquan Thornton couldn't find his way onto the field until they cut him. And yet, random cornerback named Marcus Jones texts the offensive coordinator. He's like, yeah, I'll get you out there next week. Like, right away, I'll get you out there next week.
Sure, whatever you say.
Doesn't that tell you something?
Let's try it out. Let's see what happens. And the fact that it went through all those steps, embarrassing steps, like, this had all already happened. They were asking him about it after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I didn't even know he was like.
Right.
Why would you say
that? Why go public with it?
Why say that? You know,
because he's honest and nice.
That's too honest. That's too honest.
What do you mean?
It's too honest.
Honesty is always the answer.
There is no, that's not at all. You can be honest and withdraw things. You don't have to let everybody know every single thought in your head all the time. If you're asking about Marcus Jones, say, yeah, you know, we hadn't really found the right way to use him yet or something. I mean, you could say anything.
What they've been saying today. We wanted him to settle in and be healthy at corner before we expanded his workload.
Right, which would have sounded like bullcrap anyway, but I would have taken that over this anytime. Right. And this just made, you know, it's like the thing with the Hall of Fame, you know. You can say things that are honest and that are true, but that embarrass you and embarrass your team and embarrass the rest of the coaching staff. And I think that's what happened. And now Gerard Mayo has to come out and try and dress it up like it's some, you know, no big deal. But
and we know he's not good at that.
He's not.
Clean up aisle six. Yeah. He's not good at it.
Even when he's ready for it, he's like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask me this question. Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me go back into my Rolodex of great comebacks for this. Like, we know this isn't Gerard Mayo's forte, okay?
No.
And it certainly sounded like that. Anyways, I hope they keep using Jones on offense.
Me too. So the football part of it, let's stick to that. So the embarrassing AVP start part aside, didn't know him. Okay, let's move on. First of all, I guess there. Does that alter your view of him in any way?
Of Van Pelt?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's like ill-prepared or underqualified? Like, how so?
In the sense that you're an offensive coordinator, you should be, first of all, you should know who the players on your team are and when they've played offense or not. I mean, I think that's just a simple bit of due diligence that he wasn't doing. And also, it sort of speaks to me as a guy who's just so entrenched in the quarterback and trying to make him look good, that he's kind of foregone a lot of other things. You know, I just kind of think that that's what it's all about with him. And that was kind of what he was advertised as. He was advertised as a QB whisperer, not necessarily a big scheme guy, not necessarily a big play caller. And I think that just sort of further enforces it, that he's got tunnel vision towards his quarterback and misses a lot of other things that are out there.
And if you believe Mayo...
So I guess it doesn't change my mind that much, but it reinforces my already held belief.
Well, I truly had, I think, turned a little positive corner for Alex Van Pelt this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And now this makes me question it and go back.
180.
Right back. Absolutely. An awakened 180 turnaround here. Right back around. But even to the point where, so Gerard said we have these conversations all the time. We talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did the most obvious one slip through the cracks of these conversations? I'm not saying you should, have you talked about Keon White at tight end? Oh, he played tight end in college? I didn't know that.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's a few that are right off the top possibilities because of their histories and their experiences. And you claim you have these conversations all the time. What's that phrase he's been using for all his tough decisions? We're ahead of the game or we stay ahead. Or I forget how he says it, but like in times of calm, we prepare for all
these. Yeah.
It makes me doubt all the crap.
Yeah.
I guess it just makes me doubt. How prepared are you?
Mm.
How much time are you spending on all the details and the minutia? Is maybe that why you're actually not seemingly so prepared in some of these gotta have it situations or tight, right? Like, doesn't this call into question sort of the overall credibility of the coaching staff?
100%.
I don't want to make too dramatic of it, but like, you let kind of a big thing just fall through the cracks here.
Yeah.
So what else is falling through the cracks on a week-to-week basis?
Great question. And I think that, you know, we're used to 20 years of Bill Belichick, who was very detail-oriented and very into guys who could do different things on the field and stuff like that. So we all are surprised to see that there's someone here who, first of all, and you just mentioned like a guy who played tight end in college. This wasn't college. This was on the same exact team 2 years ago with Gerard Mayo was still the part of the coaching staff. So, like, there's no excuse for this. And I also think on some level, Mayo should have said, hey, you know, at what point are we going to try and reincorporate Jones back into the offense? He hasn't said that all year.
Especially,
obviously, if he had, then Van Pelt would have come to this realization much sooner.
He's not the head coach of the offense, so he needs to mind his own business and stay out of the offense.
Evidently. 617-779-7937. Jay's in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
You're doing a good show. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks.
But I'll tell you right now, as far as the Robert Kraft situation goes, we won 6 Super Bowls and you didn't, so eat feces. Let's see another professional team duplicate that, and I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs will do that. Mm. But regarding the Patriots,
eat feces.
They're playing Miami, coming up in Miami. I think I believe they'll pull off a win. They came one play away from beating a playoff team like the Rams. I think the Patriots are playing over their heads. And I wonder, what is the sentiment in New England? Are they appreciative of that fact? Because you realize the Patriots are better than they appear. They're killing their draft picks by winning, but go Patriots. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Jay. I think that right now fans are sort of at a crossroads with this team. I think that in general, the consensus that I'm getting here from calls and sort of the general tenor online and the text line and things like that, which again is a small sample size, but I think we have our finger somewhat on the pulse of all of this.
Damn right.
I think there is a bit of a inflection point right here between, is this all about the draft pick? Because right now you're not in the top three anymore. You're sixth, I think. Is this all about the draft
pick? A lot of teams, though. A lot of teams in that whole bungled top mess.
Yeah, that's
true. Top 10. You've pointed out there's a lot of bad teams.
There are. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year. And you're still one of those bad teams. But you can win four or five games and separate yourself from the dregs of the league. And I think that's kind of where it is right now. And I think fans are sort of in between. Because that was a good loss. I mean, in terms of like wins and losses, if you're going to have bad losses and good losses, I thought that was a decent loss to the Rams. That was a team that's better than you, and they won the game, but you hung around with them and you were able to make it interesting, and they're just more talent on that roster than you have. And I think the same thing's going to be happening this weekend with the Dolphins. I will say this, though. I'm not quite convinced that the Patriots are going to go down there and do what they've been doing these last couple of weeks with the close games. I have a feeling the Dolphins are going to blow doors. And the reason why I think that is because of the way the Dolphins play the Rams. The Dolphins manhandled the Rams up front, and then the Rams manhandled you up front. So I'm just worried about what's going to happen when the Dolphins get their hands on that offensive line, and vice versa, too. I think that the Dolphins did a pretty good job of keeping Tua upright in that game. And really, to me, though, it's about their defense going after the Rams offense. And that Rams offensive line kept Stafford upright the whole game.
Yep.
And they were throwing Keon White and Godchow and all those guys, just throwing them around. And that was an offensive line that got smoked by the Dolphins. So I'm worried about that.
And certainly Vegas is too. I mean, it's 7.5.
Yeah.
You're more than a touchdown underdog.
And I'm hearing a lot of people say, oh, I love Patriots are my number one pick this week. And no. I can't get there. No.
I think I'm going to be taking the Dolphins. I'm kind of with you. And I don't know that they're going to get blown out necessarily. I don't know that it's going to be a
two scores. You know?
But I mean, 10 points is a cover for Miami. And they could control the game start to finish. You could have a cheap late score or something to make it look a little closer than it really is. I have some doubts about this game. The one interesting matchup or the one interesting consideration to me is the receiver thing. So the other team had two receivers last week. The other team used those two receivers to beat you. Everybody bitched about the game plan and Gonzalez and that whole thing. This week, the other team has two notable receivers in Hill and Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
But they've added a little bit of this Jonnu Smith thing of late where he's
Smith's
a catch-and-run guy, you know, whatever. But are you going to let two receivers beat you again? You know, that's modern NFL is two receivers. Can you handle it? What are you going to do with Gonzalez? Is Jonathan Jones really some sort of matchup for Tyreek Hill and Kryptonite, whatever, there? I think that's the interesting matchup in this game. But I would just start with Miami. Like, Miami's a tough place for this team to play, for whatever. I know Mayo tried to downplay it. It's not like early in the year. It's not September. It's not that real heat. It's not that, if anything, it's kind of a nice change this time of year.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Talk to me in the third quarter.
How many times did Ryan Fitzpatrick beat Tom Brady down there?
And that's my whole thing.
You know, like, how many times did Jay Fiedler and those guys, no matter what, it didn't seem like it mattered who the quarterback even was. They always beat the Patriots. It's crazy.
And then you bring up the inflection point. We talked about it, I think you and I talked about it. Fitzy and I definitely talked about it in the Six Rings postgame show. So last week was a big Hunter Henry Kendrick Bourne week,
mm-hmm.
which that's great. It helped you compete.
Yep.
Is that what you want to be? Because if that's what you want to be, that'll probably give you a better chance to maybe win some games, and that might hurt your draft pick. Or are we developing young receivers? You know, my favorite quote from Alex Van Pelt yesterday was something to the effect, like, there's no rookies anymore. It's midseason.
Right.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Because he's like, we need more from these guys. We need them to be, like, you're not rookies. And I personally would like to see some of these guys sink or swim. I know everybody's down on Polk, Baker, whatever.
I think we already got an answer on some of those guys.
Well, yeah, but halfway through. Give them a chance to really solidify it. Put a couple more nails in their career coffin, so to speak. Because to what end? If you throw the ball, it's great if Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne combine for, like, 13 catches and 150 yards. It's probably not enough to win,
mm-hmm.
And it's really done nothing for the foundation of the future, which Gerard Mayo told me was one of the keys.
I disagree with that. Why? I think that the future is all about Drake May, right? So if those guys are getting open and they're getting open in the red zone or the end zone or whatever it is, and he's looking for them and finding them, that helps him, and that helps his development, and it helps his stats and his numbers, and I think that
it helps his stats and his numbers, absolutely.
That doesn't help his development?
I'm not sure it does.
I think it does.
I think he's fine. I'm very confident in him. What I think would help the team development, the offense development, and by extension his development, is are any of these guys that are going to be good players
for this
team?
Putting crappy rookies out there and hoping that
finding
he can force
out
the ball into them? I don't know about that.
You actually asked Curran yesterday, do we need to reset the wide receiver position?
Right.
I want to find that out.
I think I already know the answer.
But it's still early. You got to give them the whole season.
I think it's not that early.
I mean, it's only mid-season, but so you kind of agree with me.
Even if Jalen Polk has like three good games after this, he's still going to have a lousy year.
Yeah, but if he's trending in the right direction, there's a lot of people we see the end of a season and go, oh, that's something he can build
maybe
on
he'll be
into
better
next
year. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
right?
Maybe that's true.
I could say, wow, from week 1 to 17, he sucked. He's not going to be what I thought he was. He's not what I drafted him to be. I need X number of receivers. I need to reset the button. It stink, it stank, it stunk, and they all got to go.
Kind of, yeah.
Speaking of stink, stank, and stunk.
Yes, of course. Speaking of that, Mike Giardi, who doesn't stink, stank, or stunk, but he did call the receivers last year by that very inflammatory name. I remember a lot of people got upset about that.
And he was right.
But he was right. And I think I'm right about this year's wide receiver crop as well. We'll talk about that with him as well as some other things going around in the NFL. Stephen A. Smith with an all-time rant today about the Giants and Danny Dimes, who is no longer with the team. And I think that could be interesting, is there's a lot of teams out there that are not happy with their quarterback situation. Will they turn to Daniel Jones? Could that affect the Patriots in any way? We'll get to all of that right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You knew that would have gone on at least another 10 minutes. How much longer was that clip? There was more to that.
There was like another 2 minutes.
Stephen A. fired up. And listen, if you're a New York sports fan, not counting like the Buffalo Bills, if you're a New York football fan, I've never seen anything like this. Like, the Jets and the Giants have been bad before at the same time. Like, that's true. But I've never seen both teams implode like this at the same time. Like, really, I mean, that's what's going on here. The New York Jets are a rudderless, captainless ship right now, just about to sink. And the Giants, I don't even know what you call this right now. The Saquon thing in the offseason, I mean, listen, that's come back to bite them about as badly as anything can. And now you cut Daniel Jones? I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked to see this happening. Couldn't happen to a nicer city, by the way. But it's very like jarring to see this.
Well, we knew when he signed his contract that it was a mistake, and you were going to pay long-term, and it was not going to work out. I mean, most people knew, I think.
Yeah.
They were in that weird spot where they had a guy coming off a good year, and, we can do worse. We can do better. What do we do?
Right.
Kind of situation. But, yeah, New York, you're right. I hadn't really thought of it like that. The two teams between, so a GM, a head coach,
yep,
a quarterback, they let arguably the best player, offensive player in all of football leave.
Yep.
Over a little bit of money in the offseason, to the point where Bill Belichick's mocking you, and he has a history of letting people leave his team.
He certainly does.
But he's mocking you on his podcasts. It is remarkable, and they can compete for quarterbacks and back page headlines and draft picks and everything except playoff games and Super Bowls.
Pretty much everything.
And the cherry on top of this ice cream sundae from New York perspective, you got Rex Ryan begging to coach the Jets again.
I know. I know. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be awesome.
Talk about running it back. Running it back with a guy who, by the way, was a lot of fun when he was the coach.
And successful by Jets standards.
I mean, successful by Jets standards, sure.
He went to back-to-back AFC title games.
He certainly did. And he beat the Patriots when they were looked like the best team in the world.
Had Mark Sanchez looking like a winner.
Yeah.
Now he's on our TV screens with a bad man bun or whatever the hell he was wearing last week.
Was it his man bun? You got that right.
Didn't care for it.
Do you think Danny Dimes lands somewhere? Do you think he's getting scooped up here? Because there's a lot of play. He could go to Jacksonville. He could go to Vegas.
Absolutely.
He could go to
Carolina. Any of these bad
teams. Yeah, there's some spots where he could land, for sure.
He's not without talent.
Tennessee.
He is not without ability. I just think he's a fill-in starter, backup quarterback, journeyman quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback you spend $40 million on.
Nope, he certainly is not. Joining us right now to discuss that and all the goings-on here with the New England Patriots is Boston Sports Journal's Mike Giardi, who joins us most Fridays. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Mike, the Twitch chat wants to know, who's taller, you or me?
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
That's what she said.
Hey, how about that? Mike, good to have you on today. It's been an interesting week here for the Patriots. Let's go ahead and start with the whole Marcus Jones snafu that happened with Alex Van Pelt. I don't know if you're as prepared for this as Gerard Mayo was. He was like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to ask about this. You'd probably imagine we're going to ask you about this as well. What does this say about the coaching staff in general, the communication going on in that building, and just the general awareness of their roster? Like, where does that sort of leave you after hearing all this?
Wasn't the whole idea a part of the whole idea of the change in regime from Bill Belichick to Gerard Mayo, Elliott Wolf and company was collaboration? How many times have we heard that word over and over and over again, to the point where I got numb hearing it? Like, okay, I get it, I get the point, right? Well, if you're going to collaborate, you need to communicate. I don't know how you don't communicate to an offensive coordinator whose offense struggled the first 5 weeks of the season and say, hey, by the way, I mean, it should have happened way before that, but hey, by the way, we're having a hard time scoring points. This guy, Marcus Jones, pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. You may have seen him on the punt returns, but like, he did some stuff for us on offense in his rookie year. And so when Gerard comes out and says what he says today, like, it was, I mean, obviously in the aftermath, it's a flimsy excuse, but if that hadn't come out that I didn't know, and you wanted to say like, oh, look, we decided early on, like, hey, Alex, he can play offense, but we gotta see him on defense first. We gotta see if he can be healthy. We need him out there, etc. Then I could live with it a little bit more than this explanation, you know, that was given in sort of trying to cover their tracks. It's just another example of them stepping in it, you know, small miscues, major miscues, stuff in between. It's been a lot of that this year, in the first year of this coaching staff.
Yeah, attention to detail just sort of seems to be lacking at times with them. That's just the reality. One thing that jumped out to me, though, today was Scott Peters. I don't know if you were in on him, but I was listening to some of the audio from him, and he was asked a question about our seven-step drops and quicker plays, and he basically said, I don't think that's really true. I think we're getting the ball out faster. And that led me, which I think was a moment of honesty from a coach, and it's obviously pointing towards a quarterback that's doing a pretty good job. Is Alex Van Pelt doing a better job? Is this offense better than it was a month and a half ago or 2 months ago? Or do they just have a better quarterback doing a better job leading the offense?
I think they have a better quarterback, but I think they're incorporating some of the things that, A, the quarterback does well, but B, what Alex wanted to do all along. And like, I think the misconception, especially because for the most part, for 20-something years, you lived in the same sort of offense and the same family of offense. And so, and especially with Tom as quarterback, you always started out kind of on an advanced page with that. That this thing was coming in at the ground floor, and new personnel, new coaches, new way of teaching things, new offense, like the whole part of it. You know, and every once in a while you got, well, you know, we ran some outside zone. Like, you're trying to live off this. This is, you're building your whole offense around it. So I think there was a lot of stuff held back early on. I've referenced a million times. It felt like Alex was having to coach with one hand tied behind his back early for a lot of reasons. You know, the quarterback play, obviously the offensive line play, poor receiver. I mean, there's a million things, right? But now I feel like they're starting to understand exactly what Drake's capable of. And even last week, like, to me, for as great as Drake was, that was a really well-schemed game. They were like, we're afraid of their pass rush, but we can hit them quick, and you're smart enough to read it and get it out quick. I mean, I think I charted 33 of 40 throws were either behind the line of scrimmage or between 0 and 9 yards. It's like, to me, it was like a very Josh McDaniels-esque type plan, in the sense, like, there are times where they would come in with Brady and say, like, we can't protect, so we're just going to get it out quick. You're just going to find the guy, and, you know, it's sort of an extension of the run game to a certain degree, and we'll just keep hitting you with those plays. And that's what they did for the better part of that game.
The Patriots have historically had a real tough time playing games in Miami, even in the Belichick-Brady days, against Jag quarterbacks like Ryan Tannehill and Ryan Fitzpatrick, all the Ryans. This is now a new day, a new era, obviously, for both of these teams. And Miami, with Tua back, just beat the Rams. Do you think that the Patriots have a puncher's chance on Sunday?
Because I don't think Miami's awesome. And they're playing better, and they seem to have found a little bit of a formula here since Tua's come back. I don't think I look at this team and say, oh, they're just like, this is a 10 or 11 or 12 win football team that's played below its level because of the injury to Tua. I think they've struggled in various facets this year. Their offensive line's not all that great. You know, they sort of changed the way they're playing offense even more so since Tua's come back, because there's a real, I mean, if you watch it, guys, he's trying, like, they're basically saying, like, get rid of the ball. We don't want you to get hit.
Right.
You know, like, they're still living in that, which I understand, by the way, I'm not criticizing it, but they're still living in that fear. And I think that's why you've seen Mostert has 23 catches in the last four games. Jonnu has 16 or 18 in the last four. Like, they're getting the ball out quicker, attacking the middle of the field quickly, checkdowns, you know, little things like that, letting their speedy guys run with it after the catch. So, they're more talented than you are for sure, but I don't think it's I just don't think it's like a dominant difference in talent.
So you famously called the Patriots wide receivers stink, stank, and stunk last year. You were right, although did I see some audio from Gillette the other day you and Kendrick Bourne have made up?
Well, I'd like to thank Dan Roach, as usual. Roach, he was swearing at me, and then Kendrick walked in and he tried to shift it on me. And, you know, he's like, how much do you hate Mike Giardi? Kendrick, no, we're good. Like, yeah, you know, like Kendrick, even when last year happened, Kendrick handled it. You know, he made a little crack at the press conference. Like, he wasn't one who was staring me down, like, say, Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker doesn't play in the league anymore, for the record. Just, you know,
brag.
So, yeah, no, I think we're in a good place. But I think your point was, Andy, is how much better is this room?
No, actually, my point was going to be, I think this room still kind of stinks. But do you have a new nickname?
It stinks and stunks.
And
yes.
Can I offer one up? What are Donald Duck's nephews' names?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah. Would that work for this group? Because they're a bunch of sort of young, don't have any idea what the hell they're doing, chickens with their heads cut off, kind of misfits.
Yeah, I mean, it just certainly, you know, they obviously reworked the room quite a bit in the off season, and none of that's really gone to plan. KJ Osborne's supposed to be like that solid veteran pro, and, you know, he's out there on Instagram, like, basically saying, I want to be traded.
I forgot he was still here.
Wanted to be traded.
Is he still on the team?
I know.
Does he exist?
He's still on the team.
Why?
I don't know. He would have been gone that week, as far as I'm concerned. And then when you didn't trade him, I don't know. I don't know the logic behind that. I mean, Tyquan forced his way out. You know, that situation, the way it devolved there at the end, that was his doing. And they relented, ascended, you know, let him go. They haven't gotten anything, really. Polk has taken a step back. Baker, you know, you and I were there. We sat on the hill. There was like 4 days of good Javon Baker, and then I really haven't seen it since.
Nope.
And there's a lot of people that are fascinated by him, and he certainly has talent, but the fact that we're already here in November and they haven't been able to get him on the field, or when they do, they have to take him off, like, it says a lot.
He got benched from kickoff return without fumbling. Usually kickoff return, the way you get benched,
not
is
just
you fumble.
That, he had a 40-yard return.
Right. And he somehow got benched from it. That's not easy to do, Michael.
No, it's not. I mean, I think that the hurdling, the attempt to hurdle, there was just a lot of stuff there that didn't make a lot of sense. You know, you're making the cross there, the iron cross, the guy, you know, we're not going to run it back, and then you start to run it back. There's a lot of confusion there, but that's been, from what I can tell, that's sort of what he's been like behind the scenes. It's sort of a nutshell of him and trying to understand the playbook. You know, there's still talk about that, still, like, he's got to he's got to get a full grasp on it, and he doesn't have that yet.
So the guy who is supposed to be, and I think I may have stupidly said 100-catch receiver, I regret that a little bit now, Pop Douglas, supposed to be sort of the year two jumper, the go-to guy. At the end of the game last week, they tried to go to him, and he was trying to go to the locker room early or something. He didn't look back. Yeah. He was running like Forrest Gump down the field. What did you make of that? Did you buy Alex Van Pelt that was on Pop? Was he defending his quarterback at the cost of his wide receiver? And is DeMario Douglas, is he a foxhole guy?
That's a good question. I don't know that we know that yet, which maybe is your answer already to the latter one, the latter question you just asked.
Yep.
I would say I don't think that Alex Van Pelt was covering for his quarterback. I thought in the moment, and I thought on the rewatch, that he was trying to throw him to a spot or wanted him to throttle down.
Right.
And he obviously, as you've seen the film over, he wasn't even looking.
Nope.
Now, the only problem with that was is I don't think the throw, even had he throttled down, I think the throw was not at the right place. So it still may have ended up in a bad result. And Alex said, oh, it would have been a completion. I don't know that it would have been a completion, but I think that they didn't see it. And I think that's part of what Drake was talking about when we heard him talk on Wednesday about, like, you know, asking about, like, sort of spatial relationships. Are you throwing to a route? Are you throwing to a spot? And I think he wants more guys to sort of, okay, this is the play that was drawn, and you can be in the general area, but you didn't need to go that far. You needed to realize, hey, no, there's a little soft spot here. This is where I need to sink.
Right.
And he didn't. So I think that's sort of part of the conversation there about popping that play.
Mike, before we let you go, is Robert Kraft ever going to make it to the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think so. Uh-huh. This is morbid, but it feels like this is something that might happen posthumously. Like, there's clearly politics at play here. I remember having this argument when he got to this point, like that was one of the final guys, and Tom Kerr and I were on TV and we're talking about it. And I was talking about how, you know, the ownership, there's like this clique of ownership group, and Robert's not at the popular kids table anymore. And it hasn't been for a while. And Kerr looked at me, he's like, well, they don't vote. And I'm like, yeah, but they influence the vote. And I think the vote is being influenced heavily. I think there are people that, for whatever reason, whether it's the past success, whether it's, you know, some of the things that happened during the course of that success that they take issue with, and whether it's the latest stuff, you know, sort of trying to prop yourself up. But, like, that's a little bit of a red herring. Like, you're not going to vote for a guy because Stacey James is cornering you in the lobby at an owner's meeting. Like, you're not going to vote for him anyway. So you can use that as an excuse, but the reality is someone got to you, or you have this in your head that this guy doesn't belong. And I don't know how a team that can win 6 Super Bowls and go to 9 during his ownership, just the Belichick era. I'm not even talking about, like, you know, how they're not in.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Mike.
Mike Giardi joining us
Mike.
Here. Yes, right. 6'5", Mike
sure
Giardi. Joining
Next,
us here
next time
on WEEI Afternoons. We'll see. Maybe he's wearing lifts. You know, could
he's
be something like that.
Not very tall.
Neither are you.
No. I know.
Right.
But, like, that would be like Mike Reese telling me he's 2 inches taller than me. He is not.
Are you taller than Reese?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
By a
Reese
lot.
Is a little guy, yeah. Reese is a little fella.
Mike Giardi played college football. I bet you I can find.
Did he?
Yeah. Giardi.
Kicker?
Where did he go? Trinity. No, wide receiver.
Wide receiver, okay.
Let's see if
Trinity in Connecticut.
Yes.
They have a football team.
Yes, it's the NESCAC.
Didn't know that.
It's the NESCAC. It's a very high level of
Division I had some friends
football.
Who went to Trinity and I think played tennis there. Either Trinity or Connecticut College. It's one of the two. One of those Connecticut schools.
Yeah.
But there you go.
It's a good. NESCAC is good. Tufts,
yeah.
Williams, Amherst, Trinity, Wesleyan, Bates, Bowdoin.
Did you guys play each other?
No. He's older than I am.
Oh.
He's an old coot. You ever seen that gray in his hair?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, sometimes guys go gray and they're
Speaking
not that old.
Speaking of which, we're not supposed to make fun of other shows or their producers.
But I'm about
trouble.
To right now.
Nick LaPan.
Yeah.
Go a little gray. A
little bit.
A little gray there.
Noticed that, yeah.
I hadn't seen him, I guess, in a while.
I saw
him today.
That's the Adam Jones effect
right there. I feel
like
right it
there. Is. You start working
the
with Jones, you go gray right
yes.
away. That's 100% what
I noticed
that
today. Nick LaPan got a little gray, and it did happen when he started working with Jones.
If you missed any part of that interview with Mike Giardi, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever wherever you find your podcast. We'll continue with our NFL conversation. Pretty good snowball game last night. The Cleveland Browns ruining a lot of people's parlays there with a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fun game. Fun Jameis Winston sound bites as well. We'll get to all of that next. That's how it ended last night. Thursday Night Football. Hope you didn't have Pittsburgh minus 5.5 or whatever it was like I did, because you could tell pretty early on that probably that wasn't going your way.
I didn't. I had Jameis Winston over passing yards and Jerry Jeudy over receptions, baby.
Oh, yeah. Jeudy had a good game. Jerry Jeudy, someone that I wanted them to bring in for Mac Jones because they were teammates at Alabama. I thought that might have a familiar face in the wide receiver room. Not to mention the fact, you know, stink, stank, and stunk last year. That would have been a nice little upgrade. But, yeah, didn't end up happening. And he's off in Cleveland now, where he hasn't really done much, but he had a good game yesterday. And Jameis Winston, the conquering hero, playing in the snow. Did you see that one play where the microphone was flopping around in front of his helmet,
oh, yeah,
and he still made the pass? Like, that was cool. Jameis Winston is a bit of a, I don't know, he's sort of on his, like, second life in the NFL, and he definitely in the first iteration of it as the second overall pick, right? Or was he first? No, he was number one, and then Mariota was second. That's what it was. As a first overall pick who never really hit his potential. Threw a ton of interceptions.
Ton of yards,
and a lot of touchdowns, to be sure. Just basically a gunner.
Playmaker for both teams.
A cautionary tale for someone like Drake May, by the way. Right? You said that. You said you don't want him
that.
To... He's maybe on a path where you go one way to Josh Allen or the other way to Jameis Winston, and he's sort of at a crossroads right
now.
Yeah.
Not right now.
A little bit.
You think the crossroad is in start seven?
No, the crossroad comes
in like year two, second half.
Okay.
If Drake May is the same quarterback the back end of next year, I will start to have concerns.
Well, everybody's ready to call him Justin Herbert and Josh Allen right now. So, I mean,
including Hunter Henry.
The crossroads is wherever you want it to be in your mind, I guess. You know,
I guess.
It's sort of whatever.
But even you know, I believe this is premature for good or bad.
Yes.
And I don't want to go all Steve from Fall River. And, Steve, you don't have to call unless you have something else to talk about. But you know his whole theory that you could have.
You just put the bat signal out
right,
there.
Right, I'm a little worried. Yeah. But he has a specific number. I forgot what it is, like 33 games. You don't know a quarterback until he's made 33 starts or something like that. I forget the stupid number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I have that in, but seven starts is also too premature. I mean, we're living it this year with this rookie class, kind of the ups and the downs. Feels like Bo Nix could end up being the sort of the turtle, not the hare. Like the hare sprinted out, it was Jaden Daniels, but could Bo Nix be the, I'm just going to stay at the same level the whole year, and by the end I might be the best of the group.
Yeah, could be. You know, could be. He's not got much to work with there in Denver either, by the way. You know,
well,
we all talk about the coach is good, but in terms of wide receivers, running back, I don't even think they have a tight end. Like, they don't have anything over there.
I like Sutton and Williams guy.
Sutton's okay.
I thought Williams was going to be really good. The kid out of North Carolina.
Javonte Williams, yeah.
I thought he was going to be really good.
Javonte something. But, yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's not having a bad year. But
he's not.
Yeah.
He's not Saquon. He's not Derrick Henry that's just taking the load off of.
No.
Nix
has to do a lot of work on that offense.
And
he's
doing a good job. They have a good defense. They have a good defensive coordinator, good coaching. There's some support around him, but he's better than I thought he would be. But even him, I'm not willing to tell you that Bo Nix is a franchise quarterback at this point. It's way too early for any of these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to write off Caleb Williams because he had a high and then a low. I'm not going to anoint Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, and Drake May is kind of in the middle. He's really proven nothing. I mean, I'm a big fan, and I'm a maniac, and yeah, all that, but has he proven anything?
You know who the second most productive receiver in Denver is right now? Little Jordan Humphrey.
Oh, little Jordan Humphrey. He's barely a receiver. He's a tight end slash receiver guy.
Yeah, and he's like the number two target on that team.
How many? Yeah. What's his numbers?
I'm just looking at the depth chart right now, but the numbers I'd have to pull up. But yeah, I think that's sort of what the point is here, is that he doesn't have a lot to work with, much like Drake May, and you know that's a better defense, obviously, in Denver, better coach, better system, I would say, in general. But he's making it work. They're making it work there in Denver with Bo Nix, who many people said was the worst quarterback in this class by far. I mean, people said that by far.
Well,
he was
in the
worst
first
quarterback
class.
In the class. In the first round,
yeah.
That's right.
My hand is raised.
Not worse than Spencer Rattler and those guys.
My hand is raised.
Yeah,
and some people thought Rattler was better than him, and there were others that thought Rattler was overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watched him play for the Saints a couple weeks ago and said, good Lord,
and said, this guy blows, yeah. That's basically the case here. Jameis Winston is a guy that the Patriots could have had twice. They could have had him the Cam Newton year. He signed with the Saints, I think, for $1 million. And they could have had him this year, too. They could have brought him in to be the backup for Drake May. They went with Jacoby Brissett instead. And I don't know if that was a good football decision or not, but I can say, without a doubt, that for our purposes.
Oh, can you imagine if we had done the first?
If we had Jameis Winston and we were interviewing Jameis Winston every week?
Tremendous. I may not have known always what he was talking about.
Stiz, do you have his pregame speech?
Is this the horse one?
This is when he's, well, he corrects himself right in the middle of the speech. It's pretty. It's the one where he's like talking to his teammates.
Not the
interview, but yeah, the action. Listen to this.
That we have the opportunity to show where we are about. Now make sure we keep our priorities straight because it only matters about us. Not the lights, not the cameras, not the action. It's about the action. It's about our individual action and going out there. Best football tonight in front of everybody. That's a powerful testimony, all right? Let's go get it.
Family on 3. 1, 2, 3. It's not about the action. Well, it actually is.
It's not the lights. It's not the camera. It's not the action.
I got caught up
in
myself.
It is the action. That was like Rick James.
It's not the action. It's about the action.
Yeah.
Not the action. It's about the action.
I remember grinding my boots into Eddie's couch. I'd never do that. Like, that's basically what he said there. It was funny.
What do you think, like, Nick Chubb is thinking there?
Is he
rolling his eyes? Is he just laughing like we are, enjoying it, that he's caught up? We got this emotional leader who's a little wacky, but he's our guy.
Someone said that Jameis Winston in the huddle, when he's saying the play, he says it like he's telling you a secret. Like he's got like a secret. He's like, hey, guys, here's the play.
Well, it kind of is.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Till he tells you, he's the only one who knows it.
It's true, but yeah, it's just, I mean, he's a character,
but
man.
But just like, think about the transition they've undergone from Deshaun Watson to him.
I know.
And I know he's got baggage, too. I don't want to go down the whole road.
He does. He doesn't have Deshaun Watson baggage, but he does have some baggage. Sure.
I can't imagine too many people were loving life in that huddle with Deshaun Watson. He stinks, and they know he's kind of a bad dude, and you got to play with him. So now you got a guy who is better on the field. He's making more plays. He's slinging it all over the field and is more fun, is more enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, sometimes you're laughing with him. Sometimes you're laughing at him. I don't know what the balance is because the pregame one, what did he say? Like, I'm the horse, but the Lord decides or something?
Yeah, do we have this, Stiz, in the beginning, before the game when he was talking with the reporter? So he comes out through the tunnel, and I didn't realize he was so religious, by the way. I guess I should have probably figured that. But he goes on and on about, just listen.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm dependent on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
So he gets the Lord in there and the naming sponsor of the stadium.
Oh, yeah. He got everything in there.
Professional.
I mean, that was good stuff. That is good stuff.
And then there was something about, I saw a clip on
Twitter. I love
you,
Jacoby Brissett, but you're not bringing the heat like that. Come on.
When he ran off the field, he said he was going to order a W and it would be
a dub.
Oh, yeah, on Amazon. He's ordering a dub on Amazon.
It'd be there by 9 or something.
He's evolved from eating the dub. From eating the win.
I kind of liked that when he was doing that.
I mean, his teammates didn't. If you watch that clip of him eating the win and you look at his teammates, they're looking at him. They're just so disappointed. They're like, what is wrong with this guy?
I think
the offensive linemen are standing there. Quite funny. Anyway, this was back in the old days with the Buccaneers when they stunk. And, you know, now he's on a team in Cleveland that stinks too, I guess. But
not
as much as expected of him, that's to be sure. And everybody likes him more than Deshaun Watson. So you got that
going
for you.
And he just beat the division leaders.
And certainly did. Went out there and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have been having a great season. And by the way, did you see George Pickens on that Hail Mary?
The fight afterwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was during the play. I mean, he starts fighting with the guy in the middle of the play.
But then they ended up.
The ball's up in the air, and then they're in like the front row.
Yeah.
Just going at it, him and the defensive back. He was nowhere near the ball.
He was nowhere near the ball.
He's out of his mind.
He's clearly nuts. And it's weird that the Steelers seem to have a type at receiver.
They do.
Like, they're good.
Yeah.
They're crazy, and you got to move on from them.
Right.
Right? Like Deontay Johnson, obviously Antonio Brown. Now you got George Pickens. Like, it's like they know their type and they just stick with it until they have to cut bait with that guy and find another one.
It's true. And they make it work somehow.
I'd rather have that than the Patriots.
I certainly would.
Make it work
too.
For 3 years and then cut him.
Exactly. You know, and put up with the bullcrap for a little bit, so long as they're scoring touchdowns. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls. Gerard Mayo spoke up about the Robert Kraft situation and the voters who just seem to really not like him. We also talked to Mike Giardi about that a little bit. We'll get into that next.
Not the action. It's about the action.